God is in the house. Amen. Thanks be to God. Love and peace to you from our Lord Jesus Christ. Couple things. First of all, I used to preach on this text or one similar every year. We preach on the baptism of our Lord because we used the lectionary. And after we got tired of it, right? Just confessing, all right? But in recent years, this has become one of my favorite texts. And today's sermon is going to be more of a teaching sermon. But it's a very powerful text. Also, as you know, we spent the last year going through 1 Corinthians. Now, today, last week we started going through the Gospel of Mark, and I was talking with Pastor Perry. It's really good to get back to the Gospel. Amen? So we take a closer look. The title of my sermon today is The Blessing and the Warning Label. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Today, rather than giving a predetermined definition of baptism, we will just see what the text says and see how it applies to us. So forget all your doctrines, okay? We're just going to look at what the text says. First thing we see, Jesus is baptized with John's baptism, which is a baptism of repentance. Did Jesus need to repent of his sins?
No.
No, because he was without sin, right? Charles Spurgeon said, "Why needed he to be baptized? It is a sinner's ordinance. Jesus is no sinner and needs no washing, no death, no burial. But he takes the sinner's place and therefore comes to be buried in the Jordan. For thus, he says, it becomes us to fulfill all righteousness." It was to Christ an act of obedience. He took upon himself the form of a servant, and being found in fashion as a man, he became obedient to every ordinance of God, and hence he yielded himself to baptism. Then came the voice, "This is my beloved Son." So Jesus was baptized out of obedience to the Father. Why do we baptize today? Pardon? Because we're born in sin, yeah. Unfortunately, is that the only reason people baptize, Pastor? No. Because it's a traditional thing. And they'll come and they'll bring their children in to be baptized, and then they'll come back maybe 10 years later for confirmation or for First Holy Communion. Is that what the text is talking about? No. If we're going to baptize in obedience to Christ, we baptize the primary purpose is because God wants it. Amen?
Amen?
Verse 10, just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. This is probably one of my favorite verses. So number two, we see the heavens are torn open at Jesus' baptism. Now, since the fall of humankind, heaven has been closed to us, right? Because of our original sin. Heaven has been closed. Was it possible for us to open the way to heaven? No. It's impossible for us, right? Heaven is open for Jesus at his baptism. When was heaven opened for us? Very good. This is a good group, okay? Next slide. Matthew 27. And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split, and the tombs broke open. The bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. Jesus opened the way to us to heaven with his death. And just think about that. We're dealing with an open heaven, right? We have complete access to God through Jesus Christ. Nothing is hidden from us, right? Number three, Jesus receives the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus is the incarnate Son of God. He's both divine and human. Did he need the Holy Spirit? No and yes. Okay? He was fully divine and fully human. So he could have worked the miracles. He could have rose the dead from the dead without the Holy Spirit. But we see in Philippians chapter 2, Christ, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. So even though he had this power, this divine power, he set it aside and was relying on the Holy Spirit. Bob Utley says, this term means to rip open in regards to heaven, which would have been a metaphor for tearing open the canopy above the earth. It is not to imply that Jesus did not already have the Holy Spirit, but this was a special visible sign of the Spirit's empowerment for his assigned messianic task. Now, brothers and sisters, if Jesus needed the Holy Spirit for his mission, do you think we just might need the Holy Spirit for our mission and for our lives?
Yes.
Absolutely, right? You remember how Jesus applied to himself, this is Charles Spurgeon, the words he read in the synagogue at Nazareth, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." It was the Spirit of God who gave success to Jesus Christ's ministry. And if you, dear friend, would be saved, it is only the Holy Spirit who can take away from you the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I pray to you to think with holy reverence of that mighty, mysterious being who works in human hearts and molds in them according to the will of God. By nature, you are spiritually dead, and only the Spirit of God can give you spiritual life. By nature, you are spiritually blind, and only the Spirit of God can give you a spiritual sight. Amen? So we need the Holy Spirit, right? And we receive it at baptism just like Jesus did. And it's primarily for the forgiveness of sins, right? But also for empowerment for a new life, to live the way Jesus wants us to, and for mission. Without the Holy Spirit, we can't do that. We need the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Verse 11. Oh, by the way, I pray this day we all receive the Holy Spirit in power. Maybe for the first time, okay? But I want you to know the Spirit of God is real.
Amen.
And if not, receive more of the Spirit, because we can always receive more of the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Yes.
Don't you receive more of the Spirit when you come here on Sunday and when you leave?
Yes.
You feel His presence, right?
Especially
on Monday when we pray here. Okay, we have our prayer meeting. One of the main things with the youth, we had 17 boys in the boys' room that Pastor Steve and I were working with last weekend on this Roche weekend. And the main thing is we wanted them to get used to knowing what the Holy Spirit feels like. And Sunday night, which was the middle of the weekend, we had a healing service. We anointed them with oil and laid on hands. Have you heard about that in the Bible?
Yes.
Yeah. That's what we did in these youth, age 15 to 17. They all came forward and were prayed over. Many of them wept. But the best part was, there was one that was taking a long time. And the other stations, everybody else had been through. So these young men were together in the room. They started to lay on hands and pray for each other. And they were weeping and crying. They felt the Holy Spirit maybe for the first time in their lives. And they felt that power. And afterwards, I told them, this is what it feels. This is normal Christianity. This is what Christians are supposed to do. This isn't something weird, okay? Read the book of Acts.
Amen.
Amen? And by the way, I thank God for some of the Spirit-filled people here who have the spirit of encouragement and energy.
Amen.
Like Martha, okay? She's crazy, but I love the energy. And it's a gift. It's a gift of the Spirit, the enthusiasm she brings. Enthusiasm means God in her, okay?
Amen.
And Harold has it, okay? He has that gift of enthusiasm. And Sandy, they don't care what people think.
Amen.
Amen. And isn't that great?
Yes.
Isn't that refreshing? Where people, they feel the Spirit and they're not afraid to say, praise God. Thanks be to God.
Amen.
Amen. Pray for more Harolds and more Marthas.
Harold was, Martha, I don't know. That, she's kind of out there, okay? I love you, Martha, okay? You know that, okay? Verse 11, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son whom I love, with you I am well pleased." Number 4, God the Father proclaims Jesus' sonship in His pleasure with Jesus. Spurgeon writes, "Now, sinner, the point to which I want to especially direct your thoughts is this, that God not only calls Christ His Son and His beloved Son, but that He says He is well pleased with Him. And this concerns you in that if you are so united to Christ as to be one with Him." Have you ever heard that before?
Yes.
If we're living in that relationship with Jesus Christ, right? God will also be well pleased with you for His dear Son's sake.
Amen.
But can a sinner ever be pleasing to God? Not in himself, apart from Christ. But all who are in Christ are accepted in the Beloved. Do we realize we are children of God? That's what I was preaching at the jail yesterday to the women, okay? And these were women who didn't feel like they were children of God whatsoever, alright? Question for us, do we live our lives like children of God? Not all the time, right? Depends what day you catch us. Okay? Unless you like Pastor Dave. He's always... See, you come here and I'm giving you a plaque already, Dave. All right? Do people see us as children of God? This is very important. Do they see us as children of God? They should, right? They should realize that we are different, right? That we don't live the way the world wants us to live. We're different. Also in these verses, notice the Trinity. Jesus is baptized, the Son of God, right?
Yes.
The Holy Spirit descends, and the Father speaks.
Hallelujah.
The word Trinity is never mentioned in the Bible, but the Trinity is there, right?
Yes.
Verse 12, at once the Spirit sent him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels attended him. So, the heavens open, Jesus receives the Holy Spirit, and they send him to the wedding feast in Cana, right? No. They send him out into the wilderness, okay? The Spirit of God sends him into the wilderness. Spurgeon says, full of the Holy Spirit, and then led into the wilderness to be tempted. You would not expect that. Yet it is a sadder thing to be led into a wilderness when you are not filled with the Spirit. And a sadder thing to be tempted when the Spirit of God is not resting upon you. The temptation of our Lord was not one to which He wantonly exposed Himself. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. The Spirit of God may lead us where we shall have to endure trial. If He does so, we are saved. And we shall come away conquerors, even as our Master did.
Amen.
Now, if God leads us into trial, then He will sustain us and give us the victory. One of, it was Greg Erdman, the guy who goes to the jail with me, had a problem with this, that the Lord would lead us into temptation. But He leads us into the temptation where we get victory. Okay? When it falls apart, that's us. Okay? But when we're led by Him, then we receive the victory. And an example, and it's a very sad example for us, there were 21 Egyptian Christians. They were Coptic Christians. The Coptic Christians have existed in Egypt since 42 AD. Since 42 AD. 21 of them were beheaded on a beach in Libya this week. And by the way, we should be angry, all right? And we should seek justice, okay? And believe me, I don't like war, okay? But there's an evil in the world. And when pastors were silent before, when there was evil in the world, what happened? The Holocaust, right? So I'm speaking out against ISIS. It's an evil that needs to be destroyed, all right?
Amen.
Now, these 21 Christians who were beheaded, though, he'll say, the Lord led them into temptation, and they held their ground, but they were killed. Well, they won the victory, right?
Amen.
Where are those 21 men now?
Amen.
They're before the throne of God in a special place where the martyrs are, right? So even though the Lord led them to that beach in Libya, and it may not have ended the way we wanted, okay, where they drive away in a Mercedes-Benz, okay, being Americans, that was what we would expect. They received the glory. And the fact that I'm preaching about them, and I know there's a lot of other pastors talking about them today, they are our example. They are to Christ's glory.
Amen.
And the glory of His church. Amen?
Amen?
To have Christians that are willing to kneel down and be beheaded on a beach. Do we have that kind of enthusiasm for God in us? Let's pray that we receive that spirit. Amen?
Amen, Pastor.
6. Angels were sent to minister to Jesus. Does God send angels to us to minister to our hurts and needs?
Yes.
Matthew Henry writes, "The ministration of the good angels about us is a matter of great comfort in reference to the malicious designs of the evil angels against us. But much more doth it befriend us to have the indwelling of the Spirit in our hearts, which they that have are so born of God, that as far as they are so, the evil one touches them not, much less shall be triumph over them." Does God just send angelic spiritual beings to aid us? Although we've seen those, right? Some people in the congregation have seen those. He uses His saints.
Yes, Lord.
And we are the saints, okay?
Yes, Lord.
When has God sent you an angel or a saint during your trial?
Every day.
Somebody just shows up at the right time, right?
Yes.
Yes. And how many years did we pray for you to get back in that?
Over 3 years. Yeah.
And her friend was an angel. Thanks be to God. Right. And that's so important to realize that God works through people. When you're expecting a miracle, it can come through anybody. All right? I'm looking at Paula and Bruce Berkshire. You guys realize how many times you've encouraged your pastors here. You have no clue how many times you've encouraged your pastors here. You've been angels to us, okay? And we thank God for you. And many people like you, okay? Now, see, it's going to be a short sermon today because it's only a few verses. But isn't this good stuff?
Yeah.
It's good stuff, right? Okay. Now I'm going to try to do this without messing it up, all right? This is the laser. Okay, the laser button. Okay. So Jesus is baptized, right? He's baptized with John's baptism of repentance. Now, we are baptized just like Jesus, out of obedience to the Father, right? But is it for repentance? No. It's for forgiveness of sins. And Acts 2:38, I have it here. Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." You notice, though, Peter preached repent and be baptized. Did Jesus preach repentance? Absolutely. It was His first message, okay? Look in the Bible, okay? Check it out. He came preaching repentance, as did John the Baptist. So, and by the way, brothers and sisters, I want you to know that there is no forgiveness without repentance. And churches aren't teaching that today. There's no repentance without are no forgiveness without repentance. All right? So, do you see the similarity? By the way, most theologians will say that Jesus came as an example for our baptism and leave it at that, but there's a lot of stuff happening here, right? It's only a few verses. Verse 2, "The heavens were torn apart at Jesus' death," "heavens were torn apart at Jesus' baptism, and He received the Spirit. The heavens were torn apart at Jesus' death for us.
once again, and when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split, and the tombs broke open. Number three, Jesus received the Holy Spirit because he needed it, because he set aside his divine nature, right?
Yes.
We receive the Holy Spirit. Matthew 3:11. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who's more powerful than I, Jesus, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Okay?
Yes.
So, when we baptize a baby up here, is it just words?
No.
You see all this stuff that's happening? Okay? And I don't care what denomination you are. You know, if you look at the text speaks to you, right? Next, God the Father proclaims Jesus' sonship. Jesus proclaims our sonship and his pleasure with us. John 1:12. Yet to all who did receive Jesus, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. We are children of God. And just look at the stuff we got here so far, okay? The heavens are open for us. We got the Holy Spirit, and we're now sons and daughters of the King.
Amen.
Wow.
Amen. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
Wow. Sign me up, right? Okay. Number five, the Spirit sends Jesus to be tempted. This is the warning label part. The Spirit sends us to be tempted at times. Mark 10:39. We can, the brothers answered. Jesus said to them, you will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. And Jesus is talking about his crucifixion, okay? So there's times when the Spirit will send us into the times of trial, right? But it's for the glory of God, all right? When we find ourselves in the pits, it's because usually we've put them there. Yesterday at the jail, it was really powerful. There wasn't that many. There was only four women, okay? But one of the women was in tears. And she said, Pastor, why did God let this guy kill my 18-month-old daughter? And I said, that wasn't God's plan, okay? God didn't plan that, okay? And I didn't point the finger at her, but if you look at it, she probably knew the guy, all right? So she put her daughter in that situation. And she made the bad choice of leaving the child with the young man or the man who's now serving life in prison, thanks be to God, all right? But the point is this, and this ties in with the Holy Spirit, and I don't even know if it ties into the sermon, but it was very moving for me yesterday and challenging to me to try to explain to this woman that, first of all, God's not the one who killed her baby. Okay. And God didn't lead her into that temptation. It's because she was making bad choices. And the guy who killed the baby made a bad choice also. Okay. Now, she can't forgive the guy. And I said, I don't expect you to forgive him today. Okay. But I said, eventually you'll have to forgive him. And the only reason you can forgive him is because of the Holy Spirit. You need to work on your relationship with Jesus Christ. And I said, there's no counselor that's going to take that out of your heart. It's only the Holy Spirit. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. And once again, she was in tears. And I encouraged her to read her Bible and pray with the other inmates there. And she still, you know, obviously didn't want to forgive this guy. And I can understand that. And there's going to be situations where we're in, similar situations, where we'll say, there's no way I can forgive. You ever been there? But then years later, what happens? You forgive him, and it's because of the power of God in us, right? It's like hot coals on your head, yeah. And the thing, her pain, our pain, won't go away until we forgive. And then maybe years later, maybe 20 years from now, you'll see, and I also reminded her, where is your daughter at now? Heaven. Okay. Right? But 20 years from now, she may see where God's hand worked in an unworkable situation. And in a situation like this that is so devastating, there's only one person who can make something good out of it. And it's not us. God. So we got to turn it over to Him. See, life isn't easy. Okay? Life's not easy. But don't rush right away to point the finger at God. And that's what we all do, right? Well, God, why did you allow that? You know? Well, you got in the car and you were drunk. Okay? I didn't. That wasn't my plan. Okay? Anyway, it ties in there somehow. Okay?
So,
the Spirit sends us to be tempted at times. Angels were sent to minister to Jesus. Angels are sent to minister to us. Hebrews 1:14. Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? Do you see what we got? We got a bunch of really good stuff here, okay? We have the obedience in order to be baptism, but we get the forgiveness of our sins. So we have forgiveness of sins. The heavens open to us. We receive the Holy Spirit. We're sons and daughters of the King, okay? This is the warning label. We don't like this one. But angels, we have angels around us to minister to us. So 5 out of 6 ain't bad, right? Okay? If you hit 5 out of 6 in the majors, you're in the majors, right? Okay? But even this, after time you'll see where God is glorified, okay? So all 6 are really good, okay? It builds our spiritual strength, absolutely. And when this sister, her name is Stephanie, and I want you all to pray for her, okay? When she reaches the other side, okay? And I mean the other side where she can forgive, all right? Then she'll start to see and understand. And then maybe we can see and understand too, because these are tough situations. Amen? So we're going to pray now, and Pastor, I want you to lead us in a prayer. And pray for us to, first of all, thank God for our baptism.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, if any of you want to affirm your baptism and be baptized again, let us know. We'd be more than happy to do an affirmation of baptism. And we call it in the Lutheran Church, affirmation of baptism. You're going to receive all this again.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you'll receive all this again. All right? But we call it an affirmation of baptism. If you want to start new, if you want to start fresh, just let me or Pastor Perry know. But pray for more of an outpouring of the Holy Spirit here. We've been so blessed. Do you guys feel the Holy Spirit right now?
Yeah.
See, that's what it's about. And pray for more pouring, outpouring of the Spirit. And for us to be open, Pastor. For us to be open.
And Pastor, your sermon at the end does tie in, because the word grace doesn't just mean undeserved favor. It certainly is that, but it's also being enabled and empowered to do things we can't do on our own. And we need the Holy Spirit to do those things like forgive and to go out and do difficult things that are humanly impossible. Without the Spirit of God, forget it. But with God, all things are possible. And so we do pray. Ash Wednesday was awesome. Almost couldn't make it because of work. And thank God I was here, because the Spirit of God was just moving so much Ash Wednesday. And Seal, how are you feeling? Good. We prayed for Steele, and it was amazing to watch this right in front of my eyes. The healing power come right over the side of her leg, and this warmth. And thanks be to God for His presence.
Amen.
And in the jail, too, where God just really do mighty things. So we do pray. Lord God, we ask that You would open up our hearts and our minds to You, Lord. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Come into our hearts. Be the Savior. Be our Savior, be the Lord, be our Lord. And we ask, Lord, that You help us to be followers of You. Lord, as we go under the water, in the desert and barrenness of our lives, and we're dried out, but as we go deeper, whisper into you, Lord, and your word and your spirit, we come out of that water refreshed in an oasis in the desert where there's evil, there's hard feelings, there's selfishness, there's crazy drivers, all around, all this craziness around us, and yet in the middle of the desert is this beautiful, lush, thriving, vibrant oasis in your presence and your spirit. And you promised, Lord, that you lead us to green pastures and still waters. And we thank you, Lord, that you're with us. And we ask, Lord, that you continue to feed our souls and fill our souls. We are hungry and thirsty. And Lord, if we aren't, give us more of an appetite for you, Lord, to be more hungry, more desperate for you. I thank you what's going on in the revival in the jails, Lord, as they're teaching us how to be hungry, how to be thirsty for you, how to be desperate for you. And help us, Lord, to be open to you. Remove any hardness of heart or anything that blocks our relationship with you, Lord. You gave everything for us and suffered so much and died for us that we might have eternal life. And in this season of Lent, as we prepare our hearts for your death and also your resurrection, and we follow you to the cross and to the empty tomb, help us to be reminded, Lord, that when you died, we died. That when you were buried, we were buried spiritually. And when you were raised, we are raised. The newness of life. Lord, if our faith has become like old news and dried up and lukewarm and brittle and cracking, refresh us today, Lord, with more of your Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray for so many need prayer. We ask that you continue to be with Hazel.